At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday morning, bright and early on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A lot to get into here in our second hour. Some NFL headlines following the 2025 NFL draft, the early portions of the full NFL offseason, where the football calendar kind of quiets down for a few weeks before we get into more of those offseason programs. But we did see some big news overnight. Yeah. Our guy Keith Stewart will join us up next for a preview of a new week on the PGA Tour. And then we've got four NBA playoff games on this Tuesday, a quadruple header to break down and get you ready for. And in three of those four spots, all out in the Eastern Conference, a couple of series can be won and clinched on this Tuesday night. And then our most competitive opening round set in the nightcap back in Denver at altitude between the Nuggets and the Clippers. A lot to get ready for, DRS, in this second hour.
And a standing ovation for the NBA, at least for a couple things that they did right today. How about a 6 o'clock playoff game, followed by a 7:30 playoff game, followed by an 8:30 playoff game? Genius this year. The only difference is we could have popped that Clippers-Nuggets game at 9:30. Would have been a perfect four-game stretch. But I do love the fact that we are having three games on in the prime time that everybody can watch and enjoy, or at least catch most of those games. Good job by the NBA. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
If Donnie Wrightside is highlighting the positives of your scheduling, you know you have done a good job, especially if that is the association, seeing as Donnie might just be a few days away from never watching a single minute of NBA regular season action again. DRS, let's go to the National Football League. The big headlines around the NFL and some big news early this morning. George Kittle has signed a long-term contract extension with the San Francisco 49ers. 4 years, $76.4 million. That is exactly $19.1 million on annual average value, making Kittle the highest paid tight end in National Football League history. Last year in year number eight around the NFL, more than 1,000 receiving yards for the fourth time in his career. For the 49ers this offseason, two big paydays had to happen. Brock Purdy, who we'll discuss in just a little bit, and their veteran tight end and one of the leaders of the franchise in George Kittle. The deal is now done.
Deservedly so, too. I mean, the guy's been a really good football player since coming to San Francisco. Now, he has caught up with the injury bug a bit. And also, this isn't a guy in the middle of his prime. It's more of the back end. Like in the NFL, like, hey, man, we're going to tie up that tight end, 26, 27 years old. George Kittle now will be into his 30s here. But also, production is key. And if you expect to be in that Super Bowl window, you want to pay your guys, keep them happy, and hopefully get those good performances out. The one thing we're going to worry about in just a few moments is who that quarterback's going to be and how much money that that quarterback is going to cost. But I don't think anybody looks at George Kittle and says, what a crazy deal. Understand this again. Most people say, well, how is he the highest paid tight end in football? I don't think he's the best. It's just the time that your actual contract comes up. He's not really resetting the market. He's just getting market value right now. And the next guy to come along is a really good young tight end. We'll break through George Kittle's numbers as well. He deserves to be paid. He's a good football player. Have no issues with this from the 49ers.
Yeah, DRS, speaking of those young tight ends on their way up, it was Trey McBride earlier this offseason with the Cardinals signing a four-year, $76 million deal, $19 million per season, highest paid tight end ever. George Kittle and the Niners with an additional $400,000, and what that means, or $4 million, whatever I am saying, no. $400,000. Yeah, $19.1 million per year. It makes Kittle the highest paid tight end. Again, last season for Kittle, a Pro Bowl year. Played in 15 games, has played in at least 14 in four consecutive years for San Fran. A Pro Bowler in all four of those seasons. Last season, 1,106 receiving yards, 8 receiving touchdowns, averaging better than 14 yards per reception. That was best among all tight ends around the NFL a season ago. He is still productive even at the end of his eighth NFL season, embarking on year number 9. He has stated it as a goal to play the entirety of his career with the Niners. He'll have a great opportunity with this four-year extension to do exactly that. And DRS, he is historic. We have seen, of course, the tight end position in the National Football League take on such a large and productive role in the last 20 years or so. Four tight ends in NFL history have had at least four seasons of 1,000 receiving yards. George Kittle accomplishing that feat a season ago. Tony Gonzalez and Rob Gronkowski all with four. Travis Kelce as well has seven. So, excuse me, five tight ends, because you got to add in Jason Witten, who has 4 years of at least 1,000 receiving yards. But George Kittle, of course, in some pretty historic company.
No doubt about it. And he should excel in that offense. One of the best play callers that we've seen in the NFL over the past 15 to 20 years. And Kyle Shanahan continually gets him open routes out there. Now, different structure there at wide receiver this year. Some changes made to that team. But old, you know, players that come back like George Kittle that know that system, that's a benefit, man. Good contract, good team. Let's see what George does this year.
So quickly, DRS, and we talked about this throughout the NFL draft, because it's not only the players and what their prospect looks like heading to the National Football League, but of course, what it means for the franchise. Next big step for the 49ers this year is paying Brock Purdy. What exactly is that money going to look like? You said it yourself. It's not record-setting deals because George Kittle deserves, although he does, because George Kittle is the best tight end still and needs to be paid as the highest guy. It's because of what market value is asking. Well, market value right now for quarterbacks is basically $45 million, and for a lot of them, $50 million per year. Nine QBs around the NFL receiving at least $51-plus million per season. Is Brock Purdy worthy of that money?
Probably, and again, maybe the toughest negotiation that I've seen over the past 5 to 6 years in the NFL. Like, we didn't look at Lamar Jackson and be like, you're going to pay him that much money and reset the market? Yeah, you will. And nobody cared about it because Lamar Jackson is that good. Hey, look at Jalen Hurts, just got a big deal. Yeah, next in line, looking to lead the Philadelphia Eagles, ends up winning a Super Bowl and becoming MVP. You see, like, Josh Allen or Mahomes. Like, yeah, these are easy ones. Even a number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, that's had a ton of success, still ringing the bell with a monster contract, and everybody goes, yeah, that makes sense. But nobody's making sense, which includes the 49ers, the fan base, and also the agents and the people representing Brock Purdy. They can't come to an agreement. It's been a long time since he's had the opportunity where that window opened up, that you can start making deals with him where they can't come to an agreement, because they're going like, I'm a starting quarterback. I made NFC championship games. I've been to a Super Bowl. Why aren't I paid like everybody who's done the same thing, which means $55+ million? And the 49ers are going, love you, kid. It's a business. We don't know if you're actually worth that much, which is the reason why we haven't gotten a deal yet. So resetting the market for a starting quarterback should be a good starting quarterback, I should say, $50 million. But then you see the deals like what Baker Mayfield got. They said, boy, man, you got good production at 30 some odd million dollars. Sam Darnold. I'm not even saying like they're on the same level as Brock Purdy, if Brock Purdy's way above them or below them. I'm just saying like that team is saying like, well, I think we can get this guy $40 million and we can really open up some other things for the San Francisco 49ers on offense or defense. But Brock Purdy's camp is like, no, this is a starter. He's young, in his prime. You will pay him exactly what that market bears, which if that comes down to $55+ million, I'm sorry. Open market, Brock Purdy's not a $55 million quarterback. It's just the way it is.
Perhaps, but he's not on the open market. This, as it should be clarified, is the first offseason Brock Purdy is eligible to sign his second deal in a contract extension with the 49ers. DRS, here are the rest of the NFL headlines from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr confirming his shoulder injury. Deontay Johnson signing a one-year deal. Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, ripping local radio hosts for not being grateful enough for what the Bills did in the NFL draft. And the Commanders announcing their new stadium. That's really where things stand. All right, DRS, our guy Keith Stewart joins us up next to preview a new week in golf on the PGA Tour on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
A new week on the PGA Tour, the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, as we break down for you here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, of course, with our guy Keith Stewart, joins us here on TEL to get you ready for this event just north of Dallas, Texas. Keith, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Ben, Donnie, good morning. Take me out to TPC Craig Ranch in Dallas. Let's get this thing done.
The CJ Cup Byron Nelson, not to be confused with the Charles Schwab Challenge, which is at Colonial, both events in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. Keith, let's start with the odds board. Donnie will ask you about the course, I am sure, and a couple of native Texans with the shortest prices. But a disparity in just how short those numbers are. Jordan Spieth has the second best price at 18-1. Scottie Scheffler in the field this week at +280. There is no doubting the acumen on a golf course of Scottie Scheffler, Keith. But +280 when everybody else is 18-1 or greater. Make it make sense for us, pretty please.
Ben, I'm not sure if I can make it make sense. I'm going to have to fade Scottie this week. And the main reason why is that two of the skills that you need to really have here with sincere acumen are approach play, especially with your long irons. Hey, Scotty has that superpower hands down, but you also have to be great with the flat stick. You got to be a flat stick aficionado. And I think that's where Scotty kind of pulls himself back to the pack. I'm not quite sure that he'll be able to make the amount of birdies that are necessary. I mean, we played now here at TPC Craig Ranch for 4 days. The average winning score was just below 25 under par. And Scott, he'll have that many opportunities. Don't get me wrong. Can he make that many birdies? I'm not quite sure he can. And I love the middle.
Keith, we're having some audio issues for just a moment. We'll have you back on the show in just a matter of time, I am sure. But DRS, Scottie Scheffler, +280. Now, we don't know the intricacies of TPC Craig Ranch, but we do know betting handicapping. +280 for an outright price needing four rounds of great golf to win an event. That's just an unbettable number, even with Scottie Scheffler.
Scheffler against the field is what it feels like it is right now at this point, and you need an unbelievable performance just to win any golf tournament and edge out like 50, 60, 70, 80 golfers at that one time. But Keith is back with us here because you take a look at the course management of a player like Scottie Scheffler. No matter if it's the Masters or he's showing up to a U.S. Open or just a regular PGA Tour event, he seems to have those advantages. But Keith, tell us a little bit about this golf course at TPC Craig Ranch, about 7,400 yards. What's the expectations and how this golf course will hold up this weekend?
Donnie, the expectation this week is that you have to go low. The four additions that they've had here, the average winning score is just under 25 under par. Vegas has set the line on the over-under for the winning score at 22.5 under par. The conditions so far this week, we've seen some wet weather, and we're going to see some more rain during the tournament. The greens themselves are going to be receptive. They're going to be soft. These guys are going to be able to score at will, and that's something that you're going to need to be able to do. And that's why I was fading Scotty earlier before I got cut off. I don't know that he can make that many putts and keep up with some of these guys who are just about equal with him, certainly on approach, but obviously better with the flat stick. And I think that at that short number with Scotty, you got to look further down the board. I mean, this place, absolutely – the guys were scoring here at will, so they added 155 yards of length to the golf course on five different holes. They're trying to beef this place up. They have narrowed some fairways. They have created some chipping areas just off the green with some closely mown areas. They're doing what they can, but I'm not quite sure it's going to hold these guys back.
Keith, a winning score of over under 22.5, that is a birdie fest. So we've seen Keith's keys. Let's get those early leans on the early line. If we are fading Scottie Scheffler based on play and or price, who are we keeping an eye on this week at TPC Craig Ranch?
Well, I'm celebrating a one-year anniversary of taking Taylor Pendrith last year at 100-1. So I'm looking way down the board and going to have some fun this week over there at Craig Ranch. The first guy I'm looking at, Jake Knapp. Last year, he was eighth here after four rounds. Third at the Zurich just last week in the team event. Great on approach this spring. Great with the putter. The perfect combination. And he's got plenty of length. I mean, this place, 7,500 yards and change. As I mentioned, they added 150 yards. We're going to need some ball speed. And then the second guy, you know, you mentioned in Charles Schwab Challenge earlier, Ben, right? Davis Riley won there last year at 350-1. Well, he's 120-1 this week to win there at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Kind of just rolls off the tongue, the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Anyway, I digressed. Davis Riley, right? The guy's a birdie machine. Another one with the approach play, with the putter. He's been very hot lately this spring. The way he led into Charles Schwab and the Colonial last year is similar to how he's been playing this spring. Those are my two early leans on the early line.
Let's get down the depths here. Give me a look at my guy, Bo Hosley here. 120-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. I mean, can we go to the depths here that you think somebody can play really well in this tournament and cash a big ticket here, Keith?
Well, you know, Bo Hosler, Donnie, is pretty darn deep. But I'm going to give you another name, Sammy Valamaki. And he's right in that range himself, right? Sammy Valamaki is top five in the field on approach, and he also makes a ton of birdies. This guy loves to go low. He did it in Houston. He's been doing it all over the tour this spring. You remember last year he was runner-up at the Mexico Open. That's a bomber's paradise where you got to make a ton of birdies as well. This course fits Sammy Valamaki. He is purely in that Taylor Pendrith kind of mold that I loved last year. And if you look at my whole card at Read the Line, it's a bunch of bombers that have great long iron play and can absolutely fill up the cup with the putter.
Bo Hosler, a Texas Longhorn as well. And Keith, we are firmly into that major portion of the PGA Tour schedule. We're just a few weeks away from the PGA Championship. What's the process like as you're looking at these golfers trying to fine-tune their game to get ready for golf's second major of the year?
Well, Ben, you bring up a good point. This is a tough spot on the schedule for the Byron Nelson. You know, a legendary event. It's been around for 71 years, and they can't get anyone to play in this. And the reason being is that next week I'll be down in Philly for the Truist. That's a signature event. We've got two majors and three signature events in the next 7 weeks. We're going to play the PGA Championship down at Quail Hollow, and then we're going out to Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh and Oakmont for the U.S. Open. It's going to be fast and furious for the next seven, five of which have elite fields. I can't wait to be with you guys for all of them.
Quail Hollow in Charlotte, the site of the 2025 PGA Championship. But the Truist Championship next week at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. Keith and DRS hanging out live on site for a signature event.
Later in the day?
Maybe, just maybe, or on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
A quadruple header, that's four, of NBA playoff action tonight on a Tuesday around the association. Three games coming from the Eastern Conference in their opening round sets. All three of those, a series clinching potential for the team that, of course, holds the 3-1 series lead and maintains home floor advantage in game number five tonight. The other fifth game, DRS, is perhaps our most competitive opening round set so far in the NBA playoffs. It has been wild. It has been crazy. We have seen overtime. We have seen a pure buzzer beater. And we see a series tied at two games all. That's in the Western Conference split, the 4-5 matchup. The Denver Nuggets back at altitude hosting the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. Again, both teams, two wins so far in this series. And yet, DRS, Denver returns home in game five, having taken game number four on the road in L.A. just a few nights ago. The Aaron Gordon putback, the buzzer beater to give Denver the victory. And the Nuggets winning a game in L.A. now head home to Mile High, where they're a two-point home dog in game number five, reclaiming home court advantage. Does that number seem justified to you?
It doesn't. And by the way, might not have the graphic up. What is the current, or if you have it, Ben, behind the scenes there, what's the current price here for the series as the favorite?
You have it too, by the way. It's right there.
There we go. All right. So we get the Clippers minus 164, which is absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand this, because I'm just going back to the opening of the series. We were even at 0-0 with game number one in Denver. And the Nuggets were like a minus 117, something like that, up to minus 120 favorite. So now we're saying in a condensed series, which the last game you just saw the Nuggets win, so they staved off that 3-1 lead, now it's 2-2, that it's way worse at this point. Like, what have we been watching in the series? I don't understand. And also, answer me this. You saw the previous game where you had a huge lead in the fourth quarter by the Nuggets. They gave that lead away and still won it. If the Nuggets won by 15+, are the Nuggets minus 164 to win the series? I'm very confused about the pricing overall of how we made our way to now. Because remember me being upset, like, man, missed that game number three or game number four. I wanted to take the series price with the Nuggets before that, because after they won. Now, granted, the price was higher, but now I'm like, oh, you know what? Lost that. The Nuggets are now probably favored at minus 150. No, it's the opposite. I can't make heads or tails of why we got this line. Do we know that Jokic is going to fall down the first quarter and sprain his ankle and be out the rest of the way? There's no way the price should be this high for home court advantage and now a condensed best of three for the Clippers. Yeah. I don't get it.
The Nuggets need two home victories, which you would think at altitude, home floor advantage, should be possible. Denver is a home underdog tonight. DRS, just to try to make sense of where these series odds have been, what it has meant for each and every individual game so far. Denver opened as an ever so slight outright favorite in this 4-5 split. But by the time we got to game one, now 2 weekends ago, despite the Nuggets being a 2.5, 3, 3.5 point home favorite for that opening game of this opening round set, LA was a minus 118 slight series outright favorite to win this first round playoff series. They lose game one in OT despite covering as that slight underdog. The Clippers were favored to win game two, but Denver, with the 1-0 series advantage, was now a series outright favorite. So for the second time in as many games, the team that was favored to win the individual game was the series underdog. That didn't really stack up. The Clippers take game number two in Denver, right? They go then home to LA with the series outright favorite number in their way, and the series tied at a game apiece. The Clippers absolutely route Denver by 20-plus points in game number, by 30-plus points in game number three. This looks as though the Clippers might truly have the advantage. But Denver answers, despite blowing a 19-point fourth-quarter lead. Denver ends up winning that game. And that's all that counts. And now the Nuggets regain home floor advantage. I'm not so sure why Denver is a home underdog tonight. I am certainly not sure why the odds look as that in the way they do. Donnie, what is the shortest price for us, the most likely duration of this series? 7 games in minus money. Who would have home floor advantage in a winner-take-all seventh game? Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets.
Exactly. That's why it's just, and again, we are oddsmen. We look at the lines, which is like, man, you just better take the Clippers. That's such an outlandish line where the smartest man in the room probably is the odds maker. But I'm trying to buck that trend in this one. It just hasn't made sense. And this coming from a guy that liked the Clippers game number one to win this series. Yeah. But now I look at the price points that I want to bet, and it's not the Clippers.
I have a Clippers series outright bet, and I agree. More around the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We will have plenty more thoughts on the Clippers and the Nuggets entering game number five in a series tied at 2-2 just a little bit later in the show. Mm. But DRS, a quadruple header of NBA playoff games on this Tuesday. That means four, and it starts early. So DRS is pretty fired up. 6 p.m. Eastern time in Indianapolis. Our three other games tonight, series clinching potential in game fives. Let's start in Indy. The Pacers, an 8-point favorite against the Milwaukee Bucks. We got official confirmation yesterday that sadly and unfortunately for Dame and the Bucks, he suffered a ruptured Achilles in game number four. Not only, of course, is he out for the remainder of however long this playoff run lasts for Milwaukee, but his status for 2025-26 is certainly in doubt. So tonight's game five really could be the end of an era for the Bucks, a failed experiment of two seasons with Dame and Giannis in Milwaukee, if it comes to a close tonight. The Pacers, an 8-point favorite, DRS at home inside the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Do you give Giannis and the Bucks much of a chance to even keep this game close?
Here's a tough one. And again, we look for correlations, which we think will make sense. We thought that the Houston Rockets, like, there's no way they can win that basketball game if Jalen Green doesn't play well. He stunk. They actually still covered the spread, which was pretty impressive. You take a look at the Miami Heat game last night. Where would the correlation be in that one? Hey, look, if you're going to have any heart in this game, it better be in the first half here. And Tyler Hero / Bam Adebayo better have great games. Tyler Hero was a minus 44 in that game. I don't expect that same type of output for Giannis Antetokounmpo, because I think he truly is a dominant player. And no matter what happens around his team, his statistics will be there. So for me, looking at the point spread and saying, Donnie, you're confident that the Pacers can cover 8 points? Not necessarily, because I still think there is a DNA for the Bucks. It's like, we're world champions. We won it a couple of years ago. Yeah. I'm Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm still a top five, top 10 player. And put this on my shoulders, I'll be able to ball out. You look at his price point here for his points prop at the FanDuel Sportsbook, man, it's 33.5. He could score 33 and a half in this game without Damian Lillard and then still get beat by double digits and go home. That's me. That's the correlation. Like, I'd rather just take Giannis and say, I know this guy, Ben, is going to shoot 25 times tonight. I know he's going to shoot 18 free throws. Can he make them? Sure. I know he's going to shoot 3 or 4 3-point shots. Can he drop a few of those? So my correlation tonight is not necessarily loving the Bucks. It's just that I know I'm not going to get a Tyler Hero performance tonight out of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can trust the Greek Freak tonight to get into the 30s or close to the 30s to give me a legitimate chance to hit his points prop in this one. That's the way I go. And also understand this. Some of the other bench guys better get involved as well, because Damian Lillard, when he's healthy and playing 30-plus minutes, that's 15-plus shot attempts or more in a game. Those shots will now be able to be spread out. Is it a Bobby Portis? Is it a game that gets out of reach where still the bench players are playing in the late third quarter and fourth quarter? But for me, it's centered around Giannis. Giannis to be in the 30s, I would be shocked if he winds up with 25 or less in this game tonight.
In the Pacers' 3 wins in this series, they have covered as a slight favorite in every one. They were about a 6.5-point favorite, 5.5-point favorite for game one. They won that game by 19 points. Of course, that was the only full game without Damian Lillard for Milwaukee so far in this series. They closed as only a 4-point favorite in game number 2. They won that game by 8 despite Dame's return. Milwaukee did show some life, winning game number 3 by 16. But then, of course, with Damian Lillard getting injured early in the opening quarter in game number 4, Indiana won that game by 26 points. The Pacers were a slight underdog. They won outright as a 4.5-point dog in game 4. This is an 8-point spread. It's by far the largest we have seen in favor of the Pacers in this series. DRS, I know Indiana's going to win this game. Can Milwaukee stay close? Maybe, but I completely agree with you. How about a Giannis reduced ever so slightly specific same-game parlay? 30-plus points, 20-plus rebounds at minus 108. Oh. Might seem juicy. It's really
Wait,
not.
What?
Giannis has scored what?
30-plus points and 20-plus boards.
30-plus points, 12-plus rebounds. Did I say 20-plus?
Oh, okay.
12-plus
Yeah, I was like, whoa,
that
price was wild. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, yep, I could see it there.
Yeah, 12, at least 12 rebounds for Giannis Antetokounmpo in all 4 games so far in this series against Indiana. At least 28 points in all 4 as well. 34 or more in the first 3 games of this series. You know he is going to get to those numbers tonight. Can anybody else help him? We shall see. In large part, DRS, of course, Dame did not play in game 1. Dame barely played in game number 4 after suffering the Achilles injury. The starters outside of Giannis, outside of Dame, combined for 15 points in game number 4, 14 points in game number 1. Meanwhile, the Pacers have been incredibly balanced in all 3 wins in this series. Indiana has had 6 guys score in double digits. All right, next game up might be our most competitive of our Game 5s tonight in the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks back inside Madison Square Garden looking to win the opening round playoff series for a 3rd consecutive season. 5.5-point favorite tonight against the Pistons. Detroit DRS has led in the 4th quarter in each of our 2 games so far inside the Mecca. Can they get it done again tonight to at least make this game close and maybe stave off elimination?
It's again, we're talking about the mental psyche of teams. Like the Miami Heat were obviously checked out by the time that game started in game number 4. They got blasted right off the court. Also, we just talked about the Bucks and the Pacers series. We understand that Pacers have a pedigree of championships because it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. But also understand this, human psychology as well. Dame goes down early in that last basketball game, tears his Achilles. You know you're not going anywhere here. So how much effort are you putting into a game in Indy when you know our season's going to end, whether it's this game or the next game, it doesn't matter. Same thing, you take a look at the Pistons. They let one game go to get away already in the Garden where they should have been up 2-0 going home. And also understanding this, they blew a 4th quarter lead in their last game, but it doesn't help the fact that if the refs just make a simple call that everybody saw, they win that game and it's 2-2 going back to the Garden. Now, again, for the second time in this series, you were waking up after game number 1 at the Garden going like, man, we should be up a game, not down a game. They had a great performance in game number 2. Now you're doing the same thing where you know it's going to be hard to win 3 games in a row against the New York Knicks. And now you're saying to yourself, All right, now we're in the Garden. That crowd's going to be in a frenzy looking to close us out. And also, we have to still get over the heartbreak of we should have won that basketball game, and we got jobbed by the referees. That's tough.
Yeah.
You look at the line. Opened up at 6 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now sits at 5.5, coming back to their direction, even though across the board about 6 out of every 10 tickets are coming in here on the New York Knicks. I want to give the Pistons a fighting chance. They fought hard this entire series, but it's still a young team trying to learn its way in the playoffs after getting a couple gut punches already and responding. I don't know if I have the comfort level to say they can respond once again tonight in this atmosphere.
Gut punches is a good word, DRS. Game number one, the New York Knicks go on a 21-0 run to really steal game one away from Detroit, despite it being inside MSG. But the Pistons did have nearly a 9-point fourth quarter lead. They led in game number two in the fourth quarter. New York came to tie it with just over a minute left. Detroit prevails courtesy of Dennis Schroeder. The Pistons did not lead in game number four, but fought their way back to just a single point down the stretch before the Knicks held them off. The Pistons, of course, did lead in the fourth quarter with a second quarter and second half rally over the Knicks on Sunday. I'm going to believe in the Pistons once again. Give me the +5.5. I also do have Detroit +2.5 in the series spread. I am hoping we head back to the Motor City for a sixth game. If it is going to happen, Cade Cunningham is going to be a big reason why. Quickly, DRS, game five tonight in Beantown inside TD Garden. Double-digit spread, 11.5 in favor of the Celtics to clinch this series in five games against Orlando. The Magic got theirs. In game number three, and Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner are trying everything in their power to even keep these games close. Does Boston win it in five games tonight?
Yeah, I think it might be a smash job up in Boston tonight, too. But also understand this. This game has the ability to get chippy because the Orlando Magic, only way that they can fight back in this series being ultra-physical. And if this game starts to not go the direction, what do they have to lose but to just rough it up and see what happens? So watch out, Celtics, who are playing in this game, for some of the rough treatment you might get. But this game should be a double-digit victory for me for the Boston Celtics.
The Magic have tried to display that physicality. Boston has been able to prevail with that 3-1 series lead. Some Stanley Cup playoff action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stanley Cup playoff action live right here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid with one of the best to do it from the NHL. Pete Jensen joins us live right here on this Tuesday to recap a Monday night, a doubleheader of action on the ice, and set the stage for where things stand currently in the Stanley Cup postseason. Pete, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday.
Of course, guys. And yeah, so many series tied 2-2. The Dallas Stars got a leg up on the Colorado Avalanche last night. I expected that series to go seven all along. I was a bit more surprised, though, yesterday, as it looked like Tampa Bay was on the cusp of tying the series. Florida scores two goals in 11 seconds. And just like that, in the blink of an eye, it seems like it might be over with Florida up 3-1 in the series. You never know, though, with those Lightning.
You never know, Pete, and the Sunshine State battle has been a good one. But we are seeing some very competitive series out in the Western Conference, and that included game number 5 last night in Dallas between the Stars and the Avalanche. And entering game 5, Pete, the Avs were a road ice favorite in Dallas to take a series lead once again. It was the home team in the Stars getting the job done. What impressed you most about Dallas's performance in the dominant Game 5 win to be one victory away from an opening round playoff series victory?
Well, I mean, you could say it's the eye test or the surface level analysis right here, but I think for Dallas it's as simple as they came up with some pep in their step and they came out to an early lead and they didn't hold back as the game went on. Like, they did most of the damage in the first two periods of that game. But so much of this series, the Avs had been leading for the entirety of games or out shooting them for large stretches. Like, I think back to game 3 when Dallas won in Colorado. The Avs were outplaying the Stars for the early portion of that game. Dallas hung around. Dallas has just been hanging around, taking punches. They're missing a couple of guys in this series, Jason Robertson and Miro Heiskanen, probably two of their best three or four players on the roster. So major props to what Dallas is doing, weathering the storm. They could still get one or two of those guys back later in the series. The focus shifts now to the Avs trying to take care of business in game 6. But my goodness, for a team that has struggled sub 500 over the past couple of postseasons on home ice, Dallas finally stepped up to the plate and delivered in a big way last night. And it was good to see for everybody that looked at them as a top contender early in the season and also at the trade deadline after they acquired Mikko Rantanen.
Pete, the fight for Florida certainly has a lot of energy here. Now a 3-1 series lead here for the Florida Panthers. But last night was spectacular in so many different ways. You saw the first goal on the board come to the Florida Panthers for a 1-0 lead. Then you have something that you probably haven't seen before. Two goals score within 11 seconds for the Tampa Bay Lightning to give them the lead in the second period. You fast forward to the third period. Then you had the Florida Panthers here, back-to-back goals for themselves within 11 seconds here, and a win by the Florida Panthers. A crazy night down in Sunrise.
I mean, this has really been probably the best rivalry in hockey for the past 3 or 4 years. Remember, the Lightning had the early advantage around the time of their championship years. Then Florida struck back and won the Cup last year. Florida's now been to 2 straight Stanley Cup finals, and they're trying to make it 3. They have a great chance to do so here, especially skating out to this early lead in the series 3-1. I mean, look at Florida on paper. They got Brad Marchand at the trade deadline. They got Matthew Tkachuk back for the beginning of this series. That was huge. He's already made an impact. And then they got Aaron Ekblad back in game 3. And he's had awesome games in game 3 and 4, including a goal in the third period as part of that amazing flip around of the game. So, you know, I feel like Florida is maybe not as deep as they were last year, but they're pretty darn close, and you can make an argument that they won the trade deadline, pretty much getting Seth Jones for some future considerations, of course, but also the Brad Marchand trade. They really didn't have to give up anything to get this guy, and he's a bona fide playoff performer from years past and the present.
The Bolts had that 2-1 lead with fewer than 4 minutes remaining, and a couple of guys that Pete just mentioned right there, Aaron Ekblad and Seth Jones, score within 11 seconds of one another to give the Panthers the lead. They added some insurance late for that 4-2 victory in game number 4. The first win, Pete, for a team in this opening round set on home ice. The Panthers take advantage down in Sunrise. Now one win away from advancing to the second round of the Stanley Cup postseason. And Pete, focusing on the Eastern Conference, where the reigning Stanley Cup champs and the Panthers reside. We had started to see early on in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Carolina Hurricanes dominant. They're up 3-1 over the New Jersey Devils. Start to kind of extend the gap between themselves, their price to win the Stanley Cup, and everybody else playing in the postseason. Well, with Florida up 3-1 right now over Tampa, and looking pretty darn good themselves, we have seen that gap close in the Eastern Conference. How competitive do you think that race for the Eastern Conference crown is going to shape up to be?
I think it's going to come down to the winner of that Panthers Maple Leafs side of the bracket. And I also think those series are obviously not over yet. You look at a team like the Senators, they were down 3-0 in the series. They won game 4 in overtime. That team strikes me as a possession-savvy team that could maybe spring an upset in Game 5 on Tuesday and extend that series. The Senators, not many people notice, they have the best 5-on-5 shot attempts percentage in the entire NHL this postseason. They just lost a couple of close games prior to that Game 4 triumph. So, you know, don't count out the Senators on the live line in Game 5 and just in general to win that series and pull off the upset. But again, the Panthers and the Maple Leafs, if they move on to face each other, the Hurricanes are having a little tough time right now. Some players are banged up. Freddie Anderson's banged up. They're only at 5-on-5 tied with the New Jersey Devils 6-6 in that series. And the Devils are playing without so many guys, Luke Hughes, Jack Hughes, the list goes on. So the Hurricanes are probably most likely to finish off this series in 5, I would say. But I don't think they're most likely to come out of the Eastern Conference, if I'm being honest.
It's a really good point, Pete, because we'll see the odds for Game 5 in Carolina tonight. But it does maybe not as favorable in the Eastern Conference. Pete Jensen here for another segment next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
4 games on the ice tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a quadruple header of action, and the NHL's Pete Jensen here on this Tuesday to preview each and every one. Pete, as we look at where things stand around the Stanley Cup postseason, you said there's a lot of lopsided series early, some 3-1 series lead, but out in the Western Conference, a lot of competitive opening round sets. Let's go to our 4 games that we have tonight. Game 5's where things stand. You highlighted Carolina, maybe the favorites right now to win the Eastern Conference. You're not as confident making that deep playoff run, but in Game 5 tonight on home ice against the New Jersey Devils, nearly a $3 puck line or a money line favorite where things are. Pete, will the Hurricanes knock off New Jersey tonight and clinch this series in 5 games?
I mean, one thing that you could say about the Hurricanes is they have one of the best, if not the best, home ice advantages. And I know that that doesn't always matter as much, say, in hockey as it does in the NBA for whatever reason. But I feel like it matters in Carolina, and I feel like there's a really good chance they're going to close this out tonight. So, yeah, I think that Carolina still has that bread-and-butter possession style. Even when Kochetkov is in net, like he replaced Freddie Anderson the last game and was able to help them not finish off the Devils, but really put the stranglehold in that series. They have that possession style. Even Shane Gostisbehere, Sebastian Aho, Jackson Blake, the rookie. Like, they have a number of different guys that have really excelled in the possession metrics, the shots on goal for versus against. So I still think that with the Devils a little shorthanded, this is a bit of a mismatch here. If the Devils were playing another team out there, that didn't dominate possession as much as Carolina. They've actually put up a decent fight, and Jacob Markstrom has played well so far in this series with stopping high danger shots face. But Carolina, I think I had them winning the series in five, and I'll stick with that prediction.
I'm going to keep it in the East here because we have a series that's setting up that should have been a walk away for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let one slip away in overtime. Now the pressure sort of comes back to Toronto in this game because you can't extend this series. And then all of those ghosts of the Maple Leafs past start to come to life here. Ottawa and Toronto tonight, a heavy favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Pete, for Toronto to win this game. Are we looking at a closeout situation, and will it be closed out tonight for the Maple Leafs?
I think Toronto will close this series out at some point. When is the big question? I could see anything as crazy as Ottawa wins this game and then wins game six, and then we have a dicey game seven in Toronto's barn, and maybe they break through at that point. But, yeah, you look at the Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander era. I think it's like they're 1-12 in their last 13 games, potential closeout games. So that is not great, especially when I'm talking about, you know, the shot attempts differential. Look at some of the league leaders this season. Tim Stützle in the postseason is second in that category. And then Brady Tkachuk is seventh. So they got two of the top 10 there. I mentioned they were leading in shot attempts percentage as a team so far this postseason, as lopsided as you have in any series so far in Ottawa's favor. But again, Toronto has excellent goaltending, better than usual with Anthony Stolarz. He's been the X factor so far in the games that they've won. And the coaching with Craig Berube, past Stanley Cup champion, that's what could finally be different about these Maple Leafs this year. I know we seem to think about it every year, but those two factors, the goaltending and the coaching, is much better than it's been in years past, in my opinion.
Nine consecutive playoff appearances for the Leafs, Pete, in their last eight playoff trips. Just one playoff series victory in those 8 years, trying to make it two in the last nine where they win tonight in game five up in the six. Pete, in our other two games that we have tonight in the Western Conference, again, as we have shared, all four of our opening round sets out west. We have seen the series tied at two games, all after four games. The Golden Knights tonight in Vegas, hefty home ice favorite. The Kings tonight in LA, home ice favorite in game number five. Final 45 seconds of this segment, Pete. Will both of the home teams take the series advantage with a game five win tonight?
I mean, it's a tough question. These series are so tight. I mean, I feel like in some of these series, like the Minnesota series, I'm very encouraged by what I've seen from Minnesota at 5-on-5. I think that the Wild are outscoring the Golden Knights 11-6 in the series at 5-on-5.
Wow.
That series, if it gets low scoring, I worry about Minnesota pulling the upset. The other series, Oilers, Kings, the more chaotic it gets, the more topsy-turvy it gets, it benefits the Edmonton Oilers without question, especially now that they have Evander Kane back from injury.
Pete Jandrick, we appreciate the time greatly. Hour three next.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.